This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Interviewed by the special counsel?
I have.
You have it. And what sort of questions were they asking?
That's the extent I can go in discussing that as well.
Did Donald Trump know about those emails before they came out?
Absolutely.
He knew about them?
Yes.
He knew what was coming out before WikiLeaks released them? You're saying Donald Trump had a back channel?
I didn't say that. You did, but I will say that.
How did you know about
him then? I am going to expose the corruption that went on in the campaign and in the White House. I'm going to continue to blow the whistle on all of this.
Well, Omarosa making the rounds, pitching a new book, and getting a lot of attention for what she's saying. The president taking note as well, as we noted, when you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break. He tweeted this morning, and give her a job at the White House. I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog. Well, that tweet got a lot of attention all over the place.
How does Sarah Huckabee Sanders take to the White House podium and defend this man? How does Kellyanne Conway stay silent today and not go out and at least break with the president in his calling a woman a dog? How do the senior women in the cabinet, how do the women that get a paycheck from the American taxpayers stay silent on a day like today?
People trying to get away with saying that Donald Trump is terrible to women who work for him and that he's a sexist misogynist. Why would I be standing here in front of the White House working in this building if I didn't think this man was doing great for all Americans? And by the way, if I felt that he wasn't respectful toward women, he's an excellent boss to women.
She went on to say she wouldn't have obviously used those particular words. Let's bring in our panel. Steve Hilton is a former advisor to British Prime Minister David Cameron and host of The Next Revolution here on Fox News Channel. Karen Tumulty, opinion writer for The Washington Post, and Guy Benson, political editor at townhall.com. You know, Karen, a lot of people say, you know, you're giving this too much oxygen, but it is the oxygen that the president is providing that is driving a lot of the coverage, is it not?
Absolutely. I think anybody who has watched any of Omarosa's interviews, including her disastrous one yesterday with Savannah Guthrie, doesn't walk away from those interviews thinking, oh, I've got to go out and read this book. It really is the president, with his tweets, with his engagement, who I think is putting a lot of fuel on this fire.
Guy, what do you think of all this?
Oh, my gosh. Well, when the White House is out there and their primary defense is the president calls many different people dogs, it's maybe not the best situation for the country. It does happen to be true, at least on some level. There was a reporter from Business Insider who went through and compiled on Twitter a list of people the president has referred to as dogs, which included many white men like Mitt Romney and Rahm Emanuel and David Gregory and Eric Erickson. The list goes on and on. But here we are. The president, I think, has a compulsion to fight back. It's part of the reason that a lot of his supporters love him. But you have to question occasionally the wisdom of the ferocity of the pushback, given the context here where he's very clearly punching down in a big way against someone who I think has limited credibility, to put it kindly.
Steve.
Yeah, I agree with Karen and Guy. I'd add a couple of things. I think you said that she's getting a lot of attention, Brett. That's exactly right. She's getting the attention, but I don't think she's going to have any impact. I think this will turn out to be pretty inconsequential in terms of the overall scheme of things. There's just one thing I'd like to pick up on, because a lot of people in discussing this have made the point, well, why did the president hire this person in the first place? It's a mistake to bring people like this into government. You shouldn't have people like that with no government experience. I think that is the wrong lesson to learn. I think it's often very useful to have outsiders, people without government experience and so on, brought into government to shake things up. You don't just want a bunch of bland bureaucrats. However, they have to have some level of integrity, and Omarosa clearly doesn't.
That's the bottom line, isn't it? Sadly. You know, Donald Trump, I mean, that's his brand. You know, it's been said, hey, you hit him, he's going to hit back twice as hard. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's equal opportunity, right? That's what you're gaining from this is, we often say, experience defines preference. And the president is making it real clear what he's all about. And, of course, Omarosa is making herself real clear, too, right?
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey, just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day, as always, right here at the intersection of faith and culture. And speaking of which, we have award-winning faith and culture writer Jonathan Merritt with us. And we're going to be talking about speaking God from scratch. Okay? Yeah, you heard me right. Speak God from scratch. Jonathan, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Bill. It's a pleasure.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about you commissioned the Barna Group to take a look at and present some research here that only 1 in 8 self-identifying Christians speak of God regularly. What's going on?
Yep. So that's in my new book, Learning to Speak God from Scratch, which came out yesterday. People find in that some really fascinating data. What happened was, is I moved from the Bible Belt to New York City and found I was really struggling to have spiritual conversation. And I wondered if other people were like me. Come to find out, a lot of people are like me. Only 7% of Americans. Now, over 70% of Americans claim to be Christian.
Right.
Only 7% of Americans and only 13% of practicing Christians say they speak about their faith on a regular basis, about once a week. And so this to me was totally shocking, that in a country that is so, claims to be so religious, for some reason now we're afraid to talk about our faith.
Well, I got to tell you, Jonathan, it was hard for me. I had to, really take a look at this in light of, if you remember, not that long ago when President Obama came out and told everybody that America was no longer a Christian nation. Here we are, supposedly a nation under God. We hold to Christian values with our laws and other issues of life. But yet, here it is, crèches around Christmas time, we're being attacked, we couldn't say Merry Christmas, and pluralism seemed to be running rampant and overshadowing, our faith, and it caused people of faith to cower. And that's what I started to realize. Did you see the same thing?
Well, so what I have noticed is I would say there are three kinds of trends that people feel, and I talk about this in the book, pluralism, postmodernism, and then a post-Christian culture. Mm-hmm. And those three things create a strain. And so when I ask people, why don't you have spiritual conversations more often? Why don't you talk about God or faith or your church? Why don't you share your faith? And people would say things like 25% of people said, well, these things always seem to create tension or arguments. Or they would say, I'm afraid that if I talk about these things, someone will think I'm an extremist. The data shows, the Barna Group that did the study, the data shows that now more than 50% of Americans say that if you share your faith and you try to convert someone, you are a religious extremist. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of people now who say, I'm afraid what will happen. I'm afraid I'll be rejected. I'm afraid somebody will be offended. I'm afraid I'll be attacked if I talk about spirituality. And as a result, then they just say, to heck with it. I'm not going to talk about faith at all. And we now have a culture that is, by and large, lost confidence in spiritual conversations.
Well, Jonathan, we got to go back and let's address this issue. First of all, we are not the ones to convert people. If you think you're the one to convert people, then you need to go back and read the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit, okay? And if you're in the Holy Spirit's lane, you're going to get run over, and you deserve to be run over for that. You need to go, you know, go tell your story. Tell the difference, the difference in your life as a result of Jesus Christ in your life. And you can do that like the blind man who couldn't see. He was pretty excited realizing, whoa, you know, I couldn't see. Now I can see. Wow, this is pretty cool. What happened? Oh, that Jesus guy is the guy that did it. I mean, he wasn't eloquent. He didn't go and get a theological degree. He just said this is what happened in his life. And sometimes, you know, well-meaning Christians, we try to overcomplicate this deal. Just tell your story. You know, what you were before, what you are now, that's pretty exciting. That's pretty good stuff. Because the thing is that even though we have the Barna research, and I agree, and I've been studying the Barna research for years, and, you know, and that is clear as to what's happening with our culture. I mean, how do you reconcile Gallup's poll, what now, almost, 18 months ago, when, you know, they were talking to secular America, and secular America says, hey, we need Christians, we need people of faith, where are they? Well, you told them to shut up and not to participate, and now you want them to get back in, you know, into the marketplace and, you know, show the way. So even, you know, the secular element of our society understand, you can say even instinctively, Jonathan, that they're not getting it. They're missing something. And here we are. We're to be the change agents co-laboring with God on this issue to convert people. And we're intimidated because we said the wrong things because we got out of our lane. We did it the wrong way as opposed to, you know, being a lifestyle evangelist. Go out there and live God, you know, the way God intended you to be, and draw people, you know, to the cross and let the Holy Spirit convert the hearts.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are exactly right, Bill. And the thing is that for a long time in our culture, Christians have gotten mixed messages. And your poll, the poll that you cite, the Gallup put out, is a prime example of that. It's, we want you to show up, we don't want you to show up. We want you to say something, we don't want you to say something. You can say something, but don't say it in a way that would be offensive or triggering to me. And so what happens is then you get Christians who say, I don't even know what the rules are anymore. I don't know what I'm allowed to say, what it now is politically incorrect. I don't know what the rules are. And so, yes, I might talk about these things with my family. If we're religious, I might talk about these things in my church, but I'm not going to talk about it at the water cooler, at the PTA meeting, in the cul-de-sac. I'm not going to share these stories because I'm not afraid what people will think, but I think that you're right. If you think about it just in terms of if you have been touched by God, just tell people about that. If you had been transformed by anything else, a diet system, a self-help book, you would talk about that.
Exactly.
Well, if you've been really believed you've been transformed by God, say something about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that we recover confidence in these types of conversations.
Exactly. And the thing is, this is what was so dangerous about political correctness. It has left people vulnerable. We've allowed people to die at the hands of abortionists, things that are happening, the lawlessness that's running rampant in our country right now, Jonathan, all as a result, as the Bible says, a people without vision will perish. They cast off restraint. We're casting off restraint. Those very things that God put into the system, the laws, the commandments that he gave us, they're common sense things, you know, when you think about it. And it's consistent with that, you know, we were mentioning it earlier, and maybe that's the reason why it came up, because in anticipation that you and I were going to be talking, is that conversation that God had with Cain. You know, he just said, look, if you do right, will it not go well for you? I mean, that admonishment rings through the millennia to us today in the 21st century America, is that if we do right, will it go well with you? So the other proposition is, if you're not doing right, you know, then it's not going well for you. I mean, look what's happening. Again, we keep saying, look what's happening in Chicago. Chicago's so desperate right now, they don't care. I mean, it's a Democratic stronghold, you know, in the political realm, Jonathan, and they're saying, hey, get Donald Trump in here. Somebody's got to fix this. We cannot stand for having our children murdered in the streets of Chicago any longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what you're touching on is that there really is two sides of the coin when it comes to the Christian life. There's the words that we speak, and then there are our actions, our behaviors.
Exactly.
The types of laws that we implement, the things that are external. And we need both of those things. You know, there's that quote that they always attribute to St. Francis that says, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. And I've always
exactly.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dylan Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dylan bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dylan bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dylan bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart and Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here, and boy, do I have a deal for you. The deal with this deal is that you get both a breast and a whole wing when you choose my new 100% white meat KFC $5 fill-up deal. You also get dealt mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink with this here deal. I can't keep dealing this deal forever, though, so you have to go to KFC soon to get the 2-piece all white meat $5 fill-up, because it's only available for a limited time. Deal? Deal. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Tax extra. Prices may vary. Size may vary by location. Extra charge for breast piece and size substitution may apply.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully-cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Send your emails direct, NSA free, to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how great the plan. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer.
Bill Martinez Live.
Oh, yes. Do we need a rescuer right now in the midst of this culture where, you know, there's so many elements that have caused problems in presenting the gospel? Some of it is that it's been man-made. We try to do things according to our own eyes instead of following, you know, God's simple example, the things that he's shown us in the Bible. We get locked up, Jonathan Merritt, in what I call Christianese, you know, a language. It's almost a code that you have to be. You have to be part of the club in order to understand, you know, the secret handshake and the words that we speak. And by doing that, we segregate ourselves from the very people that God wants to, you know, have us inculcate and be a part of. Do we not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this my book, Learning to Speak God from Scratch, I talk about this, which is, I am not all that concerned with what I call cultural Christian lingo, Christianese. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if you have ever blessed someone's heart or started a prayer chain or prayed for a hedge of protection, I'm not super interested in that. What I am interested in is the decline in historical Christian language. Mm-hmm. So, what we can do now is we can search the usage of words at any point in history, thanks to Google Ngram data. When right. you look at that, you find that since about the 1950s or 60s, there's been a massive decline in the English-speaking world of words like sin, grace, mm-hmm. courage, kindness, compassion, in addition to all of the theological words that we use, but even these basic moral words have been falling out of usage for at least the last 50 years, and some of them are declining by up to 50% or more mm-hmm. since the 1950s. And so there has been what we call a demoralization of language, mm-hmm. that our language has actually become far more secular, and it is shaping us to be a less spiritual, more secular, less religious society.
Kind of amazing. We're being shaped more by rap music and the words coming out of that culture, as opposed to, as you share in your book, sacred words. You know, words that, you know, like kindness, the very thing that leave us empty, because we're devoid of these powerful words. Words do matter, don't they, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm. They do matter. And, you know, that's not something that those of us who are listening, if you're listening and you consider yourself to be a Christian, it shouldn't take you by surprise, because you believe in a God who created the world with words, who revealed God's self through the Bible, which is a collection of words, who gave 10 commandments that were made of words to establish the law. Jesus, who came to preach, he said he was anointed to proclaim. And, of course, the last command that Jesus gives before he ascends into heaven is, go therefore into all the world, and I might say, and speak God.
Right.
And so we have this book that says words are powerful, words are transformative. I have created you and empowered you to speak the truth to the culture around you. And so many people now are allowing other individuals with different vocabularies, different ideas, different religious beliefs to sort of hog the microphone. And I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And to your point here, why would Jesus tell us to do something that he knew that we couldn't do?
Right.
Or did he know we could do it?
To do something, you're about to do that, right?
Exactly. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I got to exit stage left here, so the Holy Spirit will empower you and give you the unction to speak those words that maybe right now in your knowing, you may not know what you're going to say, but at that moment when you come in contact with a fellow journeyman on the road of life, you have that word that God has deposited into you that needs to be spoken, that is going to be life-changing for that one individual. I mean, we hear about it historically. Look at Billy Graham. Billy Graham never thought that he was going to be an evangelist, but he happened to find his way into a tent. And look what that one evangelist thought. What did he know? That the seed that he was dropping into Billy Graham was going to touch millions of people around the world.
You know, when I was researching for Learning to Speak God from Scratch, I came across a verse that I'd never read before in 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes and says, we believe and therefore we speak.
Yeah.
And we have now a culture that claims to believe, but we've lost our therefore.
Yes.
And you look back at people, men of old, people that, like Billy Graham, we stand on their shoulders, and they had their therefore. They had mm-hmm. connected belief to speech. And they were like the early disciples who said, how can we not talk about what we've seen and heard? Mm-hmm. And I think we could take a lesson from some of those guys.
Well, in much the example that you said before, I mean, if you got a great buy in a stock option or something, you know, and you could buy Apple for, you know, 25 cents on the dollar, you'd be telling the world all about it, right? You know,
right.
So we, as agent, we love to, you know, as much as the bad news flies around and gossip and all that, but we love to be carriers and ones to carry good news as well. And this is the best news.
Yep.
I
totally agree with that. And I think there are some cultural pressures when you look at the way that we work as humans.
Mm-hmm.
We care about our children. We talk about our children. If you care about the Yankees, you talk about the Yankees. And then you say, do you care about God? And you say, the person says yes. And you say, how often do you talk about God? And they say, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to begin to address why we have, as a culture with so many Christians in it, lost confidence in the ability to speak these things. And part of that is realizing you hold the power to change someone's life in your words. 35% of Americans say they have made a big change in their life because of a conversation about faith. Anthony Hopkins just told that story. Somebody
exactly.
spoke God to him. It changed his life. He was an alcoholic.
Right.
Gave up alcohol and pursued this career. And we had a great gift because someone had the courage to speak about faith to him. And what I want to do with this book is start a new movement of God speakers all across
Amen.
America.
Amen. I'm with you on that, Jonathan. I want to support you in any way possible, and I'm glad you're on the show to talk about this. Which generation, you address this in your book, is having the most spiritual conversations?
This is going to shock you.
Mm-hmm.
Millennials.
Really?
Absolutely blew me away. The older that a person was in the study we conducted, the more likely they were to say that they never have a spiritual or religious conversation, that they never talk about faith. And I think it goes back to some of what you and I have talked about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The rise of political correctness, the rules having changed beneath them, and you get people who are baby boomers or elders, and they think, I don't even recognize this world. I don't know what the rules are. I don't even know how to operate in this world. And so they often become the most timid when it comes to sharing their faith, because I think they look around and see a new world with new rules, and there's just too much confusion. And as a result, older generations will often throw up their hands and just give up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in your book also, you address four things we can do to revive the vocabulary of faith. We've got about a minute and a half left here, Jonathan. Let's hit on those really quick.
Well, I think we have to begin noticing the things that give us tension, and we have to then get into communities, into small groups, to start a community in your lunch group with your co-workers at the PTA group, and to begin speaking God intentionally with people. Just ask someone if they'd be willing to have a spiritual conversation with you, to join you, and do not give up, because these things matter. They have eternal consequences.
Yeah, because then you get in a situation where iron sharpens iron, you know, and you start realizing the refinement of your conversation, the things that you're being prepared for, but also, as we said earlier, trust that the Holy Spirit will give you the words. Jesus said that very clearly. And I can tell you experientially, Jonathan, I'm sure for you as well, sometimes you come up with stuff and you go, hey, I know that didn't come from me. You know?
Yeah.
And you just thank God for being God. Learning to speak God from scratch, why sacred words are vanishing, how we can revive them. Notice the implication here is we can revive them with the help of the Holy Spirit. Jonathan Merritt has been our guest. The book available at all the usual places, right, Jonathan?
That's right.
Good, and we're going to link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com as well. Jonathan, an honor and a pleasure to have you with us. Appreciate it, sir.
Pleasure's all mine, Bill.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Paul Manafort's bank and tax fraud case could be in the hands of a jury as soon as this afternoon, following closing arguments which are getting underway. The former Trump campaign chief resting his case yesterday. His lawyers never called any witnesses. Manafort facing 18 counts of tax evasion and bank fraud. The United Nations reporting that it believes 20,000 to 30,000 ISIS fighters remain active in Iraq and Syria. The UN report says although many of the terrorist group's fighters, planners, and commanders have been killed in recent years, there are still thousands that are fully engaged militarily. While ISIS forces were defeated in all of Iraq and most of Syria last year, the report warns a reduced covert version of ISIS could survive in both countries. This is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
In need of comfort? Look to two American icons, the Company Store and the LaCrosse Comforter. Available in down and down-free options in four warmth levels and 14 colors. For over 100 years, no one gives you more choices and better quality than the Company Store. Go to thecompanystore.com and enter code RADIO15 to receive 15% off your entire order and free shipping. That's thecompanystore.com. The Company Store. Comfort that fits your style.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez, live.
I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing.
Back with the America, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the info is there. And if you're so inclined, you want to drop me an email, definitely we welcome your opinion. It counts here at this place. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. With us right now is a Social Security disability expert, Mary Dale Walters. Now, she's a senior VP at ALSIP and editor of the new ebook, Applying for Social Security Disability Insurance, Getting It Right the First Time. Mary, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking me to be here today.
Well, good to have you here, because this is something our listeners are always wanting to hear about. And, of course, you can help us save a lot of time and frustration. We know that in 2017, almost 70% of SSDI applicants that applied on their own were denied benefits, oftentimes because the process and paperwork are complicated and overwhelming. So let's help the good folks out. Let's make it simple for them. What do you suggest besides getting your book?
Read the book. Always a good idea. First of all, know before you apply if you're actually eligible for the program. You put money into the program just like any other insurance premium when you pay your FICA payroll taxes, and you need to confirm that you've worked 5 out of the last 10 years. You need to believe that your disability that you have, whether it's physical or mental, is going to last for 12 months or more, or is going to result in your death. And you need to have lots and lots of medical evidence, and basically your doctor's confirmation that you cannot work because of your disability. Mm-hmm. So those are the biggies. In addition to downloading the book at truehelp.com/SSDI-ebook, mm-hmm. you can actually screen yourself to determine if you are likely to be eligible mm-hmm. by going to file, F-I-L-E-S-S-D-I, truehelp.com. And there you can take like 15 minutes. We'll ask you 30-some questions, and it'll basically tell you in advance, we think your condition is severe enough and that you might be eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Social Security makes that final decision, but it's never a great idea to apply for the benefit and then wait 4 to 6 months to find out if they think that you're eligible for it.
Exactly. Well, this really, short-circuits the process quite a bit. And as you say, at least, you know, you've gotten the number one step out of the way, and that is to figure out your eligibility. And so that's a great first step. And the rest of it, you can follow up right there, because it takes you right through the process, does it not?
It does. And having a representative, which is what ALSIP does, early in the process at that application level can increase your odds of getting benefits by 50% to 60%, simply because the representative knows what to ask you, works like Social Security does, can make sure that you've got the work history, and all the details that Social Security is going to want from you when you first apply. There are people who will apply, and Social Security, as you mentioned, only about 34% of them will be told, we believe you, at that mm-hmm. first step.
Right.
But there's three levels of appeal after that, and some people apply early, and Social Security doesn't believe that their condition is severe enough. So if you're particularly if you have a chronic condition or one that keeps getting worse, like a back problem or MS, lupus, a chronic disease, if you keep appealing, a lot of times you're in that process and your disability will get worse as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
It may take you a couple of years to get a final decision, but it's not unusual for people to stick with it for all of those appeal levels before they finally get a decision from Social Security.
It is a bit of a heartbreak, isn't it, Mary? Here, I mean, you got some people waiting almost 600 days. I think it's estimated something like 1 million Americans waiting an average of 599 days, I guess, to be a little bit more precise. That's tough to be dealing with this kind of pain and dealing what you're dealing with and then needing some help, and you know you qualify for it, but you just got to get through the process. Is there any way to speed this up, or this is just the way it works with SSDI?
The way to speed it up is, as I said, make sure that you've got everything buttoned up and help at the beginning. The 600-day wait for a hearing is after you've already waited 8 to 10 months for the first two steps in the process. So it is a very long process. If you have a pretty severe disability, and there are like 225 specific types of disabilities, stage 4 cancers are a good example, and you apply, Social Security will grant what they call a compassionate allowance.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put you through right away. You're probably only going to wait a month before you determine if you're eligible. You still have to wait through their 5-month waiting period before your benefits kick in.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have provisions to help people who are severely ill right now and may not have a very long life expectancy or are definitely not going to be able to work for at least a year or more. You don't have to wait a year of unemployment before you apply. If your disability is severe enough and you've got the evidence of that, you can apply now, even if, you know, that 1 year mark is still 8 months or 6 months away.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the key to making sure that you're eligible is you don't want to be in the way of people who are eligible. And the problem is Social Security has to deal with people who are eligible and people who are not eligible.
Right.
So you really want to make sure you're not wasting your time, their time, your taxpayer dollars.
Exactly, yes.
To get through that system.
Well, I guess this adds to the complexity of it. And, of course, you've got built-in stress anyway once you enter the queue, because you're entering the queue for a reason. And this process can take some time.
Yes, and, for most people, it's worth sticking it out if you truly believe and your representative believes that you're eligible, even if you have to go that, 3 years, because what people don't realize is other benefits come with Social Security when you apply. You become eligible for Medicare under the age of 65 after 24 months on Social Security disability. If you have dependents under the age of 18 in your household, they are eligible for disability benefits, and they basically get a portion of what you are getting.
I see.
With Medicare comes Part D drug prescription coverage. How they calculate your retirement benefit, because when you reach retirement age, you move off of disability and onto your retirement benefit. How they even calculate that is to your advantage, and they basically freeze how they calculate it so that you don't get dinged for not being able to work because of your disability.
Mm-hmm.
And the other little unknown thing that most people don't know about is if you're on benefits, Social Security will help you go back to work again. So, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line, you're feeling better, you've got your disease under control or managed with a good drug regimen, they pay companies like ALSUP, who are employment networks also, to kind of help you get back up and running and back into the job market and help you with resumes and a work plan and finding a new job and then manage all of the more bureaucracy that comes with that program. So there's lots of benefits. If you deserve to be there, there are good supportive benefits available to you, again, that you paid for while you were working.
Well, to summarize, Mary Dale says, get help at the beginning of the process. Don't wait until you're already stuck in the backlog. Get a representative. Always good to have an advocate early to avoid the mistakes that prevent you from getting your disability benefits as quickly as possible. Determine if you have a compassionate allowance condition to possibly expedite your claim. And know that you are not alone. Connecting with people who have similar experience can improve mental and physical health. Where specifically, Mary Dale, can they go for more information?
They can go to truehelp.com, and that is our website. Has lots of just general information about the program, the different levels, requirements. And if you find us on Facebook, you'll find lots of people just like yourself who are there and talking as a community about their experience with Social Security as well.
Yeah, she's the senior VP at ALSUP and editor of that new ebook we were talking about, Applying for Social Security Disability Insurance, Getting It Right the First Time. Thank you so much, Mary Dale Walters, for being with us. Appreciate it.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. That's 800-596-2154.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Jessica Armand, creator of the fluoride-free oral care brand, My Magic Mud. You're going to love our new products. Our cutting-edge oral rinses deeply soothe your mouth and fight cavities naturally. Our breath spray, My Magic Mist, will invigorate your senses with essential oils of peppermint and eucalyptus. Our clinically proven toothpaste and tooth powders whiten your teeth and detoxify your mouth. Buy discounted bundles direct at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off with coupon code GCN10. MyMagicMud.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want?
Back with the America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Got a real treat for you. Eleanor Borg is with us. Eleanor Borg Nicholson, I should say the entire name correctly here. She edited the Ignatius critical edition of Dracula and yearns to correct Count Dracula's strategic errors. In addition to scholarly pursuits, she occasionally strays into fiction, including her epistolatory novella, The Letters of Magdalene Montague. By day, she is the director of religious education at a university parish served by the Dominican friars. How much fun is that, Eleanor? I mean, to be hanging around some friars. I mean, that's just got to be too much.
Oh, it's really, it is a lot of fun. It's a lot of inspiration as well.
Well, let's talk about A Bloody Habit. We're talking, 1900, right? We're going back?
1900, 1901.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. And we've got this dawn of the new century. So what is happening here?
What's happening is you're at the, as you said, the dawn of a new century, a lot of exciting developments, but it's also the changing of the guard. The old queen is very old. There's a lot of residual anxiety from the end of the previous century. But you have a lot of modernization, a lot of urbanization, a huge growth in secularism and scientific enlightenment and their politics. And, I mean, this is years before World War One. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of stability, but there's also a sense of what comes next, I think.
Mm-hmm. And so here it is. The stage is set, and as you say, this is prior. I mean, we're on the dawn of World War One, and you've got the secularization of society taking place. And so what else is happening here?
Well, in my novel, you have it's an interesting point historically. So I situate a very modern, matter-of-fact, highly sophisticated, skeptical narrator, and then following on the heels of Stoker's Dracula, which was published in 1897, I have my narrator read Dracula, which he thinks is nonsense. But then he starts encountering vampires, the supernatural, the preternatural, in a way that he doesn't know how to deal with it. So it sort of assaults London in an echo, not just of Dracula, but Stoker himself was echoing the Jack the Ripper assaults on London. So there's a lot of anxiety about violence in London. and my narrator, John Kemp, is facing all of this with the tools that he has from scientific development, and but also he's an extremely superstitious fellow because he doesn't believe in anything. So he's dabbling in the occult, trying to find an explanation for what he's encountering. I think it's there are a lot of parallels you can draw with today and how people are interacting, not just with the supernatural, but with development. As society continues to develop, what tools do you need to be able to handle things within and without society?
Well, we're talking with Eleanor Borg Nicholson, her brand new book. This is your first novel, right?
My novella was also fiction, but this is my first major novel.
Right.
And it's I said I got inspiration from the Dominicans, so my Dominicans kill vampires.
Right.
Which is, I think, was a little startling to some of the Dominicans I know, but most of them just sort of laughed and said, of course we do.
and move on. What's your next question? Okay, and of course the book title is A Bloody Habit. What drew you to this genre, Eleanor?
Well, my training and my interest for a long time has been in the Victorian period. I learned a great deal through Victorian novels from being a homeschooled teenager onward through college. Really beautiful, beautiful writing at this time. But I was really, really struck by how many cool, deep themes you can address in Gothic fiction without being preachy or boring. So you can talk about life and death and good and evil and violence as destructive, but also for its victims, sometimes redemptive. What does that look like? And you can do all of that because your stage is so theatrical.
Yes.
You can get away with a lot.
Right.
I have to admit, my sensibilities are very Victorian in that I can't watch exorcism movies. I can't even watch super scary movies. I did scare myself a couple of times while writing this book, but just the high drama and the unintentional hilarity also really, really speaks to me personally. I think Dracula, for example, is a magnificent book, highly entertaining, terrifying also.
And I got to tell you, I'm with you in terms of getting into, you know, some of the scary stuff. But I imagine your parents probably thought, well, you know, she's a rather old soul. You know, you say really appreciating, you know, the Victorian discipline and lifestyle.
Yeah, and also just the depth of expression. So there was a lot of detail and beauty in the writing because it's really the growth of the novel. I think one of the greatest periods of the novel has been in the Victorian period. So those are just, I mean, if you're reading Dickens and Trollope and Thackeray and the Brontes, you're really getting rich human experience that I think still, there's a reason people are still reading these books today because they're really magnificent.
Well, not to mention the richness of the language. I mean, here it is.
Yeah.
You say by comparison, in 21st century America, the language is very coarse and unsophisticated by comparison, is it not?
I definitely agree. And some of the go ahead.
No, I'm with you. I'm listening.
Well, plus some of the ideas they're expressing. I teach for an online homeschooling company called Homeschool Connections, and I work with high schoolers. And when they read, when they're introduced to Dickens, or going earlier than the Victorians, Jane Austen, and you go, oh, my goodness, look at this depth, look at this drama, look at, you know, the human interaction. It's just there's a maturity of the understanding that I think is just incomparable. And you're right. A lot of it's lost today. There's also a lot more hope in Victorian novels, and I like to be a happy person, so I like I like happy endings. Even
I was going to say, I'm with you on a happy ending. Exactly. Well, maybe sometime. You know, I think part of the thing that challenges us today is that we're so much in a hurry. You know, I say we live in this microwave age that only this generation could stand in front of a microwave and yell, hurry up. It's not fast enough.
Yes.
And maybe because of that, we really, you know, fail to hibernate and allow allow the genesis of an idea to fully develop. You know, we want to quickly, you know, get it out without really, you know, thinking about it. And maybe because of, you know, those early years with the lack of distraction, and, you know, we have lots of distraction these days that knocks us off course, that, you know, I think sometimes short circuits the creative process.
I think that's definitely true. And I think in the terms of narrative, if you have a Victorian novel, the action could take place over months, if not years. Mm-hmm. It's not very often, unless it's a serious, serious drama that's probably going to end badly, that you have a novel or a movie, say, nowadays, that takes months or years to develop. And mine's over months.
Exactly.
But I think it also is really disruptive to my narrator, for example, that he's facing all of this intense trauma and seeing violence erupting across London and trying to unpack it. But it takes time. An investigation takes time. Unpacking and battling a vampiric threat. Everything takes time, just like the maturation of people takes time, a very long time sometimes.
Well, in your book, you're exploring the battle between good and evil. I mean, that's, you know, that has been around forever, has it not? I mean, we just, you know, we can count on good and evil being here till the day we die, and it'll be passed on to the next generation.
Definitely. I think, and I'm partly harking back to the earlier understanding of the vampire. There's a sort of, I call it the modernist corruption of the vampire, where he's not evil, he just misunderstood. My vampires are evil. My vampiric victims are usually weak, and that's how they become victims and have the potential to be sort of absorbed into evil, but they're not, you know, if you're a victim, that doesn't mean you're evil. It just means you have a weakness or something that has made you a victim for it. But I think one of the things I found when I finished my book was that evil's really actually quite evil, easy to convey. People get evil. I mean,
right.
I don't know. We live with ourselves. We're sort of, we have to strive for goodness. There's a monstrousness we have to battle in ourselves. Goodness is harder to convey. And I found that for me, often it takes the form of humor. It's something that, I mean, because straight goodness would be, I'd be writing, I don't know, Mother Teresa's biography or something.
Right.
In fiction form. How does every man encounter evil, but then articulate goodness in the face of evil in a way that's not narratively preachy? Because that's one of the dangers when you start getting into a lot of these deeper themes. You can preach. And I don't like, except if it's the Dominican, I don't want to be preached at, and certainly not in a novel.
Exactly. Well, her book is A Bloody Habit. It's a novel by Eleanor Borg Nicholson. As we wrap things up, Eleanor, I'm going to give you a chance to summarize. Of course, the book available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. So the big takeaway, what's the big takeaway you want for the readers?
In the face of horrors, there is hope.
Well, that summarizes it succinctly and perfectly.
Yeah, I think, well, and that's, for me, it's very post-talk. I wrote the story because I was talking to a Dominican on a retreat, and he told me to take a nap, and I had a nightmare. So I woke up and started writing my book. So the story came first, and then when I looked back, I said, what is this book about? And I thought, I think it's about there's hope in the face of horror, because everyone experiences horror. Personally, you look at society, you see horrifying things.
Well, very well said. Eleanor Borg Nicholson, her book, A Bloody Habit, on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Eleanor. Take care. God bless.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protective building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. or call our order line 888-212-8871.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety?